God.
Hallelujah.
That's the difference in Christianity and Buddhism, Mohammedism. That's the difference. That's the power of the gospel. The tomb's empty. Buddha's still in the grave. Muhammad's still in the grave. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is risen. Risen from the grave, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, whoever liveth, to make intercession for the saints. Praise God. You shall perfect the worship of this morning. Tomb's empty. Praise God. I'm not preaching. Our brother Andrew's going to be preaching. And we gave our brother a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And we received sad news just the other week. Our brother John Noble, which Andrew and myself know very well, he's came here many times over the years to preach, passed away to be with the Lord. And it was through Brother John Noble that I met Brother Andrew. And we've been friends ever since. And I was privileged to share a trip recently around the world with Brother Andrew. And I'm not going to take no time up. I want a brother to come and just bring whatever the Lord's on his heart. And we welcome every single one of you. And if you're here visiting, you're very welcome. And we just trust that God will bless you. And you'll get what you've come for. Amen. You'll get, if you come, whatever you come into the service for, that's what you're going to get. If you've come to criticize, you'll find something to do that with. But if you've come to meet with the Lord, you'll get that as well. Just whatever you've come for, God's able to give you. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. It's always a blessing, always a privilege to come to Ireland. Always enjoy coming out here, and I always enjoy the fellowship. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with the people of God. And it's just wonderful, you know, when we just have fellowship with each other, we just share things, and we find out that, you know, all of God's children are going through pretty similar things. And but, you know, we come together so we can encourage one another.
Amen.
In the faith, and as we go along and we see the days that we're living in, I guess you don't really need me to elaborate on the fact that we're living in the last days. We see it all around us. We see scriptures being rapidly fulfilled. The Word of God has always been fulfilled, but just things seem to be really speeding up now. And the great joy and the great hope of the Christian is Jesus is coming. Praise the Lord. That's our joy. That's our hope. That's what we're looking forward to. I'm not looking forward to a better government on this earth for some politician or some president to sort the problems out. We're looking for the government to be on his shoulders. Praise the Lord. And the Lord to return. And that's the government we want. Amen. So, shall we just bow our heads for a word of prayer before we turn to the scriptures this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you believe the presence of the Lord's here today?
Yes.
Amen. I thank the Lord for his presence. Wonderful. Precious Father, we just want to thank you today that we're able to come into this place, Father, that's been set aside, Lord, for the worship of God, for the worship of and service of the Lord. We come, Lord, to worship you, Lord, to give you praise, to thank you, Lord, for indeed the tomb is empty. We serve a risen, resurrected Lord. And Lord, we come, Lord, and we just, this day, we pray for your help. We pray that, God, you just come amongst us, Lord. And that presence that's here now, Lord, would just touch every heart, Lord. Break every chain. Heal every affliction, Lord. Set every captive free, Father. Lord, I pray that the evil one would just have people in a place of a prison house. Lord, let them know today, Lord, that they can be free.
Amen.
Let them know today they don't have to stay there, Lord, that we can come out, Father. Because of that liberty that you purchased for us on Calvary, Father. We pray that, Lord, every work of the devil shall be destroyed. For, Lord, that is why you manifest, Lord, to destroy the works of the devil. And so, Father, today we come, as we open the scriptures, as we share from the word, we pray that you'll bless the reading of your word to us. We understand and we know, Father, that, Lord, we can read from the Bible, but, Lord, it takes the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven to quicken that word to us, to open that word to us, Lord. So speak to our hearts this morning, Father, I pray, and lead us by your Holy Spirit. We want to commit all things to you now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving you thanks, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you. If you've got your Bibles with you, I had a bit of a dilemma today, what I was going to preach. I got two messages, and I thought, well, you know, sometimes it's hard to know which one to preach first. I suppose that's better than not having anything to preach, praise the Lord. But I want to go with a message this morning I was initially going to go with, but I changed it and I went back again. And it was a strange thing this morning. We were down at, Newton Howards yesterday. I can't pronounce that word. We were down there yesterday and I bought myself a little Bible there. And I opened it out this morning there, right to that the chapter of the scripture I was initially going to preach on. So I thought, well, maybe the Lord wants me to speak on that first, and I'll preach the message that I was initially going to speak this morning, this afternoon. Does that make sense to you? We make fun of the Irish, but that's really bad. Amen. So if you've got your Bibles, would you turn, please, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. I always like to preach from the restoration prophet, because I really believe we're living in a day of restoration. God said God promised to restore, praise the Lord. And regardless of the conditions we see today, and regardless of the things we're facing today, if God said it, He's going to do it, praise the Lord. He's going to restore, He's going to bring His church back to what it should be, and there's not a devil in hell can stop that from taking place, praise the Lord. You know, the devil would like you to get to a place where all we can see is negative. All we can see is things defeat all the time. But I really believe that it's a time today for the people of God to come and really stand on the word of God and just to claim those promises that He's given us. Praise the Lord. Because He certainly will bring it to pass. Amen. You know, unbelief's a terrible thing, isn't it? And we just we don't want that around us. We just want our confession to be the word of God and the promises of God. And when you know the season that you're in, the season of God, then you have a right to confess the word of God and declare the word of God. Praise the Lord. So we'll look at Nehemiah chapter 6 and we'll begin at verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 14. Quite a reading, but it gives a good picture of what I want to speak on today. It said, verse 1, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and they answered them after the same manner. Then Sanballat his servant sent unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem. Notice that. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands.
Amen.
Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delahiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut up the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee, and who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. I like that. You know, we need that kind of perception today, praise the Lord. We need that Holy Ghost perception to realize what's of God and what's not of God.
Amen.
I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he prophesied, that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Amazing, isn't it? That was a prophecy,
yes,
but it wasn't from God. We're told to try the spirits, and especially today that we're living in, you know, so much today claiming to be of God.
Amen.
really isn't God. And we need that spiritual discernment to discern between what's of God and what's not of God. This prophecy was really there to hinder or destroy the work, or to cause a work of God, or to interrupt and cause a work of God to stop. Quite interesting that. But it goes on. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have a matter of an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and on the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Amen. The Lord bless his word. Please take your seats this morning, friends. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I just want to speak. I don't want to keep you too long. I'll just check the time. Amen. I just want to speak this morning on a little subject which I've entitled, the message called The Prophets of Fear. Praise the Lord. The Prophets of Fear. Like I say, I always like to preach from the restoration prophets, Nehemiah, Ezra, Malachi, Zechariah, and so forth, because I really believe that when you're preaching about restoration, you're in the will of God, in the Spirit of God, because we're living in a time of restoration. But if it is a time of restoration, then there has got to be something to restore. You know, there's got to be conditions there for a restoration to be. Now, if everything was as it should be, and everything was perfect and just right, you couldn't have a restoration. You know, if everything was just neat and tidy and there was no problems, there couldn't be a restoration. The very fact that there is a restoration is telling us, is telling you and me there, that, you know, conditions aren't good. So therefore, there's got to be a restoration. So when sometimes we can so much get taken up with the conditions that we lose sight of the fact of what God is doing. We get so taken up with what we're seeing that we really lose sight of really what the Spirit's saying to the church. And really, when we get to a place like that where we're losing sight of what the Spirit of God is saying, it's a bad place to be. You know, through the church ages there, the exhortation to every church age is to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, it's wonderful to see what the Spirit is doing in the church, and we rejoice in those things, and we glorify the Lord in those things, but really the unction and the commandment is to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Because whatever God is doing, he's doing it for a reason. He's not just coming along to do it to entertain us there. He's doing it because he's wanting us to hear something. He's wanting to say something. Every genuine revival, every genuine move of God that's ever come to the church amongst the people of God has been for a purpose. It's been for a reason. I do not believe God is in the entertainment business. Yeah. And so much we see in today in the church is, quite frankly, it's a terrible thing to say, but it's entertainment. And people have got into a mindset where they're going to church to literally be entertained. But the Bible tells us that the house of the Lord is a place of correction. Yeah. It's a place where we come to hear the word of the Lord, to be instructed, to be corrected, to be guided, to receive a word from the Lord. And so we're just living in such strange times, but let's not lose sight of the fact that these conditions are here because they have to be here for God's word to be fulfilled. You know, you remember when they came to take Jesus from Gethsemane there, he said, you think I could not pray now for 12 legions of angels and my Father would send those angels? He said, but how then should the scriptures be fulfilled? It had to be that way for the scriptures to be fulfilled. And it has to be this way today in the conditions we're seeing today and the things we're facing today for the scriptures to be fulfilled. And so, rather than getting despondent about these things, and I guess if you're like me, we sometimes all do, but we should really rejoice in the Lord knowing that these conditions are here so that the word of God can be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. You know, the world began with darkness over the face of the deep. But that darkness had to be there to manifest God's spoken word. You know, when he said, there couldn't be light unless there was darkness. And there cannot be a restoration unless the conditions warrant a restoration. Praise the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord's in control. And we look around and what we're seeing today, the conditions we're seeing today and what we're facing today, everything's chaos. Everything's up in the air, but with the Lord, everything's under control. And that old song, of course, we sing, he's got the whole world in the palm of his hands. And we believe that. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the hands of God. Amen. It's good to be in his hands. The Bible says we're graven on the palms of his hands. Praise the Lord. And so it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord in these days in which we're living. So let me just get onto the subject and talk for a few minutes. And like I say, I don't want to keep long. but on the subject of the prophets of fear. Now, there's an expression. Let me get the controversial bit out of the way at the beginning. There's an expression I've often heard. You may have heard it too, but it's an expression which is in the message, but the message wasn't in them. Now, it's not an expression I'm too fond of, or I'm too keen of. Because the thing of it is, it makes us, or the person, the judge of something. You know, we look at things and we base our judgment on that. And you might say to me, well, I can only judge on what I see, brother. But the fact of the matter is you can't. You see, we really can't judge on what we're seeing now. You know, there were two prophets in the Bible there which were mighty prophets of God, which really did that and got into trouble. You remember the story of Samuel there, where he came before the sons, where God had sent him down to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be king and so forth. God had David there. In fact, David wasn't even amongst them when they first came through there. But Samuel, I believe it was Eliab, came before Samuel, and Samuel got to thinking, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Now here's a prophet of God. Now if you heard a prophet of God say that, you'd have said, well, that must be right. But God had to say, I had to come to Samuel and tell him, he's not the one. You see, he's not the one. I'm not looking at that, Samuel. I'm looking at the heart. And so Samuel made a wrong judgment there based on purely on what he was seeing. I guess if he was to look at David, David would not have looked anybody's idea of a king. But he was God's idea. Praise the Lord. And any one of God's servants, it's not a matter of how he's looking like or what we think about it. It's what does God think about it. Praise the Lord. You know, when God gave to the church, the Bible said he gave. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. He didn't leave it to a church. He didn't leave it to an organization. He didn't leave it to a group. That is solely the job of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That is the job of the Holy Ghost, to do the calling, the separating and the sending. It's not in the remit of man. I was talking to somebody the other day there, and they just lost a pastor there. It's not Brother John Noble. There's another brother over in Germany. They're praying for God, for a pastor and so forth. I said, but really, anything like that, you just have to take your time. And really, the first thing to do is to pray about it. It's God's church. It's not our church. It's the church. It's God's church. Now, he's obligated, and he will look after his church if he's given the chance. But sometimes, very often, as human beings, we get ahead of God. It's just in human nature to just run ahead of God. In fact, right there at the beginning, at Pentecost, you see that in man there, they looked around and said, we need another apostle. Well, they did, but they got a little bit ahead of God. Peter said, was it Peter and so forth? Let's draw lots. But the thing of it is, they were ahead of the program of God. What they should have done is prayed and waited on the Lord. In fact, a little bit later on in the book of Acts, when they were praying and so forth and waiting on the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. So that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now he's the same God today as he was back then. So we can do these things. He doesn't need our help. What he just needs is our obedience to his blueprint, to his word, to his commandments. If we'll do it God's way, then God will undertake. God will just see that needs met. Praise the Lord. But it's just the way of things. It's just the way of man, just to get ahead of God and just to run ahead of God. And that's always spoilt the program of God. Amen. Whenever man, human beings try to give God a helping hand, it always ends in failure. Every system there's ever been has begun because of man's had a genuine desire to keep truth pure. It's not that he's gone out there to destroy, he's gone out there with a genuine desire to keep the word of God clean, to keep it pure, to protect it from fanaticism, but it always goes into fanaticism. Yes. Because you see, it's not his job. It's the job of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, when God called me to preach, he said something to me which at the beginning I found very strange to understand. He said, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You must keep within the calling you have. You cannot do another's. Amen. And I initially found that strange, but since I've gone on in the things of the Lord, and as the years have, you know, I'm always frightened of saying I understand it now. Because you generally find that God can just teach you a lesson where did you really understand it? You know, as you go through life, because you see, we've always got to be open to being taught by the Lord and shown things by the Lord. It never, ever ends. So God, keep us open to the leadings of God. But, you know, I believe I've come to understand, let me say this, I believe I've come to understand a little bit of it now. That you've really got to be just doing what God wants you to do.
Praise the Lord. We can't do everything for God, but we can do what He wants us to do. And He can take care of the rest of it. That's the beauty of Pentecost. That's the beauty of the early church. It was led by the Holy Spirit. Completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. They had issues in the other church. Of course they did. But ultimately controlling the church was the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You know, we know in the church ages there, the first church age, excuse me off my subject, pardon me. But in the first church age there, what was the problem? They had men going out there claiming to be sent by God, and they weren't. And Jesus commended the church, saying, you've got this, that those people that's claiming to be apostles, He said, they're not, you found them liars. Now, He never came along and rebuked them for calling people liars. He never said, you oughtn't have taught like that about the people. He commended them for doing that. And I really believe that as a church of Jesus Christ, as a people of God, we should have a discernment to recognize what is of God, as we read there in the scripture, and what is not of God. It's not that you're being bad. It's not that you're being evil or talking nasty about people. It's just that you're watching those things. In fact, we are commanded in the word of God to try the spirits, to prove all things. Amen. So we ought to be watching these things very much. And if ever there was a case for that, it's in this day and time of restoration. Because you see, what was coming in here was another group seeking to hinder the work. And it's interesting if you watch how this came about. But let me get back onto my subject. So we look at Samuel there looking at that and thinking that was the Lord's anointed. And God said, no, that's not him. So I'm not looking at what you're looking at, Samuel. I'm looking at his heart. So I'm not. Samuel's judgment based on what he was looking at was wrong. Then, of course, there's a story of that great prophet Elijah, mightily used of God. But remember, the Bible said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He wasn't Superman, you know. And he got to a place where he thought he was the only one left. He thought, well, I'm the only prophet around here. There's no one else. And God had to straighten him out on that. Now, it might have looked that way. It might have felt that way to Elijah. He might have had much fellowship there, but God had to get him to one side and say, Elijah, I've got 7,000. Now, that's a lot of people. Praise the Lord. That's a lot of people. He said, I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his image. Praise the Lord. So you can't really base those things on very often what we see and often what we hear. So we have to judge the right. In fact, Jesus said in St. John chapter 7 and verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment is judgment with spiritual discernment. You know, it's spirit. If ever there was a need. Now, remember, when a person is truly born again of the Spirit of God, I believe that that person has a level of spiritual discernment. The Spirit. Now, I believe there's a gift of spiritual discernment in the church. One of the 9 spiritual gifts. But I believe the mark of a mature Christian, the mark of a mature Christian in the Lord, is they have a level of discernment. Amen. To know what's of God and what's not of God. Because if not, you're going to be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. You're going to be tossed from pillar to post. There's going to be no stability there. Amen. And if ever there was a time for the people of God to have stability, it's today. Amen. If ever there was a time for the people to be grounded in the things of God and in the word of God, it's today. You know, the Bible tells us that God is going to send in this last day upon the people a strong delusion. Because they receive not the love of the truth. Now that's quite a striking thing, isn't it? Now if God's sending a strong delusion, that's some delusion. But I ask you the question, what kind of a delusion is God going to send? Well, I believe it's going to be a supernatural delusion. That's why we can, now signs and wonders, we all believe in miracles, we all believe in signs and wonders. But you know, the ultimate foundation for every child of God is the word of God.
Amen.
The Bible speaks about false Christs and false prophets that will show great signs and wonders. That if it was possible, it would deceive the very elect. Now, it's not going to be their doctrine that's going to deceive the very elect. It's going to be the signs and wonders they're showing. That if it was possible, will deceive the very elect. So it behooves us to come to the foundation of Scripture. Amen. That's why the word of God is under attack today like it's never been before. That's why today God is calling his people back to his word. Amen. And it's amazing today that people will go back to absolutely anything, almost, except the Bible. Isn't that the truth?
That's it.
But you know, it's a strange thing. But the only place of safety, the only place of security, the only sure foundation, hallelujah, is the Word of God. It cannot fail. Jesus said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will not. And so, as the children, people of God, we stand upon what the Word of God says. Now, sometimes the Word of God might challenge us. Sometimes the Word of God might come and it might be something, but we've never seen it that way before. But I believe if we've got a right spirit, we can be open to the instruction of God, to the leadings of God, and say, Lord, show me. Let's be honest with God. Lord, I can't see this, but if this is your word, then show me. I believe as God's people, we should always be teachable. It's my prayer, Lord, help me to receive what you want to say to me. I don't care who you say it through. I don't care what it is or who it is. It can be anything, but Lord, cause me to have an ear to hear what you're saying. And cause me to be able to receive. I mean, I don't limit God to a certain group, a certain church, a certain movement, a certain ministry. I just want to be open to the Spirit of God speaking to me. And leading me and showing me what his will is. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Jesus said, judge that righteous judgment. That's judgment with spiritual discernment. There's a quote by William Branham where he makes this. He says this statement. Now, our eternal destination is not altogether determined by what we see and what we hear. But it is determined on what discernment we have, on what we see, on what we hear. And that is so true. It's not necessarily what you're seeing or what you're hearing, but it's that spiritual discernment that God has given to us on what we're hearing and what we're seeing. That's what is going to make the difference. You know, really, and again, speaking of the Lord's millennial reign, it speaks about the Lord saying, he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither approve after the hearing of his ears. Yes, amen. And he goes on to say, with righteousness and equity will he judge the people. Praise the Lord. You know, the great problem with the Pharisees, why they missed the Lord, is their judgment was without spiritual discernment. Now, they would have come and said they were judging the Lord on the word. In fact, they knew the word because Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you've got eternal life. So they were going to the scriptures claiming they had eternal life, basing their claim on eternal life in the scriptures. But he said, they are they which testify of me. So really what they were doing there is they were basing their interpretation, they were basing what they were seeing, they were basing on looking at the Lord and seeing his ministry, the things he was doing. If they really knew, if they really searched the scriptures, they would have seen Jesus Christ of who he was. But they weren't. They were basing their interpretation. And here's the thing that we do so much today. Is we base that. Now we all say, you can go to any church there is and they say, I'm basing my interpretation on the word. Any church will tell you that. That's a Christian church. But the fact of it is, so many times what they're really doing is they're basing their what they're seeing on their interpretation of the word. And there's a little bit of a difference there. Yeah. You know, very often, you go and you say, well, you show something in the Word of God. And they'll always go back to that system. They'll always go back to the movement. They'll always go back to the founder. But you see, so what they're actually doing is they're basing what they're seeing on their interpretation of the Word. And there's a big difference there. So we should always come. That's why we're called back to the Word of God.
Amen.
That's why we're called back to the scriptures. Praise the Lord. And so they looked and they based their interpretation on that, but it was an interpretation without spiritual discernment, and judgment without spiritual discernment will give a wrong judgment. You'll get a wrong picture, you will get a wrong idea. So we need the Spirit of God to rightly reveal, interpret, divide the Word of God to us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's get to our subject very quickly, and I don't want to keep you long on it. But praise the Lord. So notice something now. Now just as this work of restoration had its prophets. Now remember, God sent to the remnant there. Now here's the remnant, they've gone back. Now of course this is in type, but I really believe that you can look at the type of restoration in the Old Testament there, and you can bring it perfectly over into the days in which we're living today and literally, clearly apply it. I believe the Word of God has got the answer for everything we see today. There's nothing coming on this earth. There's nothing we're going to face today that you cannot go to the scripture, you cannot go to the word of God and see it in the word of God, praise the Lord. It's got the answer for everything you're going to face today. There's no demon coming on this age. There's no delusion coming on this age. There's no deception coming on this age that the word of God has not got the answer for. That the word of God doesn't expose it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The word of God is perfect.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pray, you can rest your soul on it, my brother. You can rest your soul on it, my sister. Praise the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Now, just as there were prophets there back in that day to encourage a remnant. Now, remember, restoration is always a work of the remnant. Never the majority. In fact, the majority of Israel there were quite happy to stay down in Babylon. They were comfortable there. They had pretty good livings and so forth. Everything was quite comfortable there. And so they were quite happy to stay in Babylon. But there's always a remnant. There's always a little group, praise the Lord, with a heart for God.
Amen.
Now, in whichever age we're going to live, right until Jesus comes, he's going to have a remnant. There's going to be a little group with a heart for God. The Bible tells us in Haggai, again, a restoration prophet there, that God had touched the spirits of those people. To go back and to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the wall. Now, if God's not touched your spirit, you'll stay in Babylon. Because there's nothing in there to want you to go back. There's nothing you can look at to want to go back. There's nothing you can see to give you a desire to go back. But if God's touched your spirit, praise the Lord. If God has touched your spirit, then God has put in you a desire. If God has to put that desire, is that right? God has to put that desire there. Didn't Jesus say, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness? For you're blessed to do that. And this remnant, they might not have realized it at the time. In fact, many times I guess they didn't. But they were actually blessed. They were blessed because in them there was a desire to want to go back. But just as there were prophets there and people like Ezra and Nehemiah to come and to encourage the people and to go back and to do the work and so forth, there were also prophets of fear. Every move is going to have those two groups. There's going to be one group going back there to encourage the people. And I believe that on those people, like those prophets, those messengers and so forth, there was an anointing that was to quicken and to stir the people to go and do the work. And so on these people, their spirits have been stirred, their spirits have been touched by Almighty God to go back there and to do that work and to start that work. Praise the... Now, initially, they got to a place, certainly in the book of Haggai there, where they said, the time's not come. But what were they basing it on? They were basing it on what they were seeing. They said, you know what, everything's right. And they were just running everyone to their own house. They were taking care of their own needs and so forth. And God said, is it time for you to do that when my house is laying waste? They failed.
Amen.
Their judgment was based on what they were seeing. It wasn't righteous judgment. It was a judgment based on what they were seeing. But they failed to see that actually what God was doing, he was speaking to them through those situations. He was speaking to them through those circumstances. He said, you know, you put money in the bag, it's got a bag, the horse is in the bag. You drink, you've not got enough to drink. You eat, you've not got enough to eat. You put clothes on, you've not got enough to keep you warm. That was actually God speaking to them. Sometimes we look for a great vision, a great prophecy, a great supernatural event. And amen, I believe in those things. But we fail sometimes to see God speaking in the small things.
Amen.
And again, God in the scriptures exhorted the people, don't despise the day of small things. So these little everyday mundane circumstances they were facing was actually Almighty God speaking to them. Say, I want my word to begin. I want my word done there. And they got to a place where their judgment was based on what they were seeing. It wasn't the righteous judgment of God, because if it was the righteous judgment of God, in other words, judgment with spiritual discernment, praise the Lord, then they would have seen that it was the time. It was the day for the Lord's work to be done.
Amen.
Why? Because those conditions had to be there for a restoration to be done anyway. And that's the same thing today, my brother, my sister. The conditions we're seeing today have to be here because it's the time for God's work of restoration to be done. But there's got to be something to restore. Now, I tell you, he's got a lot of material to work with today, praise the Lord. But But he said he was going to do it. So just as there were prophets there to encourage them, there were also prophets to discourage them. I ask you a question. Where were those prophets of discouragement? They weren't down in Babylon. It wasn't the Babylonians that were coming along and discouraging them. It wasn't the Assyrians that were coming along and discouraging them. They were right over there in Jerusalem. They were in the right place. They were in the right time. But they had the wrong message. Right place, right time, but wrong message. One group had a message of encouragement. Now's the time. But there was another group there with a message to discourage. A message to kind of... And you notice every time there's attack, a real attack will come against the people of God. The damage always begins within that movement, in that group. Outside, it's not a problem. When the church has been under persecution, it's always grown stronger. You hear of persecutions taking place in Syria and the Middle East there, and it's just making, in China and places like that, it's just making the church stronger. But the real damage comes from within. These people initially were coming along and saying, let's work with you. We're just the same as you are, but they weren't. And so they were seeking to hinder the work there. It was a message not to encourage, but a message to hinder. And I really believe if there was ever a message to the church today, to the people of God today, it's to encourage the people. I believe if the Spirit of God is doing anything in the church today, to the children of God, it's to encourage the children of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, when they went into the promised land, it was a message of encouragement. Go Amen. Out. Praise the Lord. And I believe, you know, the Bible tells us he's the God of all encouragement.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's a God of encouragement. He's not there to down us or to smash us or to break us up. He's there to encourage.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Everything with God is positive. Everything with the devil's negative. Everything with a servant of God, even when he's rebuking, is positive. Everything with a man that's just a man-sent servant Amen. Is negative.
Glory.
But God is always in the positive.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is all about rebuilding.
Glory.
God is all about restoring.
Amen.
God is all about lifting up.
Amen.
He's all about healing.
Amen.
He's all about saving.
Amen.
He's all about cleansing.
Glory.
He's all about setting the captive free.
Amen.
Glory. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Wonderful Savior.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now notice. Now this group here, this remnant, they've certainly gone through a time. They've been attacked always up. And I guarantee if you're ever going to be in, you get into something God is doing, you watch out for an attack. You watch out for the devil throwing everything he can throw at you. You watch out for all the powers of hell coming against that work. But if it's a work of God, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, it's glorious.
Amen.
If it's a work of God, you're not going to stop it.
Amen.
My unbelief's not going to stop it. Your unbelief's not going to stop it.
Amen.
God said so. So you might as well just set it in your heart, well, just to believe it anyway.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because he promised it.
Hallelujah.
Now, but this remnant here in the days of Nehemiah, they've gone through some battles. Now they've gone through mockery. Now watch the attacks. We haven't got time to go through it. But they've gone through all kinds of attacks. The first way the enemy comes, he just started coming with just mockery. See, what's these feeble Jews doing building the wall? If a fox comes along, you knock the thing down. So they were just laughing. But after a while, they saw those people persevering. Now the devil might start with laughing and making jokes about it. But when he sees that work just going on, it's the devil's job to break things up. It's the devil's job to stop a work. And he will do it from within. Like he was doing here. But now, so after he sees the laughter, the mockery don't make much difference. Then he starts to get angry. Then he starts to show his colors. So they start to get angry about it. And after a while he sees that don't make any difference. So he comes along with a little bit of discouragement.
Yes.
The Bible tells us in the fourth chapter there, it says that in verse 10 it says, And Judah said, the strength of the bearers our burdens is decayed. Notice, who was Judah? Well, he was one of the tribes of Israel. But who was coming through Judah? Hallelujah. Who was coming through Judah? The Messiah. the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden. Notice, in that time of restoration, it's a burden-bearing time. In that time of restoration, it's a time of bearing burdens. Don't the Bible say, bear you one another's burdens?
That's right.
Praise the Lord. It was a hard time. It was a heavy time. But it was a time ordained of God. They were in the season of God. And when you're in the season of God,
amen,
when you're in the time of God,
right,
when you're in the plan of God, hallelujah,
amen,
then just stay there. The burden might get heavy sometime, my brother, my sister. It might seem hard to bear. But if you're in the place God wants you to be, just stay right there. Hallelujah. It says the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed. And notice, and there is much rubbish.
Yes.
So one of the attacks the enemy comes along with is there's just so much rubbish. And notice it says in verse 11, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither shall they see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. The enemy needs the rubbish to work. If there's no rubbish, he can't work. Rubbish is the cover for the enemy. But the problem of it is, so often we can get so taken up with the rubbish.
Sorry.
Listen to this. We can get so taken up with the rubbish that is all we end up seeing. We don't see the picture. We don't see what God is doing. We get so caught up with the nonsense. And let me just tell you, friends, I've been guilty of this myself. We get so caught up with the rubbish we see and the nonsense we hear, that's all we spend our time trying to deal with. And all that is, to me, that is a little sidetrack of the devil.
Amen. Amen.
To get off what the Lord really wants done. In fact, we were listening to a tape yesterday in Tommy's house, where he put the brother down there at what's the brother called again? James McConnell, yeah. And he was preaching, and he quoted a scripture. And I'd never seen this before, but you know, when Jesus spoke about the tares and the wheat growing up together, he said, let them both grow up together. And he didn't say deal with it. He said leave it.
Amen.
And I saw something, you know, the Lord showed me something there I'd never seen before. Let it alone. Just stay with the gospel.
Amen.
Stay with the word of God. Stay with the purity of what God is doing. Because all that it'll do is, you won't deal with that. You can root one up, another will grow up. Like Paul told Timothy, he said, look, when he was about to leave and to go to his reward there, he said, in the last days, people are going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, you know, and all kind of being turned to fables and all that kind of nonsense. And we're living in that day. We see all those things taking place. But he said, but his exhortation to Timothy was, but preach the word.
Amen.
He didn't say try and teach. He didn't say, Timothy, go out there and try and teach and come back, I will deal with that. His exhortation was to come back to the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
Preach, come back and just stay with the preaching. In other words, go back to the original commission of the church. Go back to the original.
Amen.
And that's what God calls his people back to the original.
Amen.
You'll not deal with the problems. It'll get worse because the Bible said it'll get worse. So we have to stay with the purity of God's word, the purity of what he's saying, the purity of what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not get caught up with the rubbish, because if you do, you'll not do anything. You won't even work. So you just really got to just watch those things, be aware of those things like they were doing, armed with a spear and a sword and so forth, and the trowel in the hands, watching those things, but continuing with the work.
Amen.
And that's, oh, that's a word for today.
Amen.
Stay with the work.
Amen.
Don't get sidetracked with the nonsense.
Amen.
That's the job of the enemy. Pardon me. And so, that great attack there. But the last attack that comes against those people when the wall's about almost finished is fear. That's the greatest weapon Satan has got, is the spirit of fear. To attack the people. One of the things that torments so many Christians today is fear. Is that right? Attacking the people today. That fear that says, oh, and just tries to just put people in a place where they can't move, can't do anything, afraid to do anything, afraid to step out, afraid to believe God. And this great attack that comes right at the end now, almost when the work is finished, this spirit, this fear that comes against the people, that's the thing that's attacking the people of God today, is fear. But you know, the Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
He's given us a spirit of love, power, a love out of a sound mind. What a precious gift that is today in the world. When so many people today, suffering from terrible depressions and terrible fears and terrible anxieties. But you know, we've got the Lord.
Amen.
And that's a wonderful thing. You know, the Bible says we're kept by the power of God. You know, sometimes we don't feel that power of God, but if that hand ever lifts off you, you're going to realize how much you are kept by the power of God.
Right.
I remember, you remember my experience and my testimony there when I went through that experience back in 1984. And, you know, it's like, I just like a hand lifted off me. I wasn't even aware of that hand until it lifted. Until it lifted. But I want you to know, as children of God, God's hand's on your life.
Amen.
Whether you're aware of it or whether you're not. Whether you can feel it or whether you can't feel it. His hand is on your life. It's watching over you. It's protecting you. It's keeping you. Praise the Bible says we're kept, hallelujah, by the power of God. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. A wonderful Savior. And so that thing was coming against the people there. And now, but God had stirred their spirits. But now the enemy's coming along there to put fear where? Into their spirits. To stop the word. So there's a battle going on. But let's just quickly get through it now and finish. But look, let's watch his tactics now. Now the first tactic the enemy's got right at the end. Right at the end now, is to come along to the people. Now, let's look in verse 2, chapter 6. It said, "Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages of the plain of Ono." Now the word Ono there, it's a place, but it actually means strength. So here's a man, Sanballat. Actually, his name actually means the enemy is secret. See what I'm saying about the enemy? It's the secret enemy you've got to watch. Not the one that tells you he's his enemy, it's the one close to you. Right in the midst there, the enemy is secret. So he wants to get have a little bit of fellowship with Nehemiah on the plains of Ono, and the word Ono means strength. Now we know that there's strength in unity. So Sanballat and so forth, they all want to get together. In other words, let's have fellowship. Let's get together, Nehemiah. Let's have fellowship. And Nehemiah goes on to say, "I can't do it. I can't lead this work. This is a great..." See, God touched Nehemiah's spirit.
Amen.
And he perceived this, that this wasn't God. He knew this was the enemy trying to hinder our work.
Amen.
Because God had touched his spirit to do the work. He
Amen.
Said, "I can't lead this work. I'm doing a great work." And he was.
Amen.
So, but now Sanballat comes along and he says, "Well, let's get together. Let's have fellowship. Let's discuss these things. Let's try and... let's deal with these things. We're all brethren." But it's interesting here. Let me ask you a question. Who looked the bad guy there? Nehemiah or Sanballat? Well, Nehemiah. He looked the kind of a guy where he didn't want anything to do with anybody. He looked like the kind of a guy, he's cutting himself off. He didn't want to have any fellowship with anybody. But that wasn't the truth. That wasn't the truth. God had touched his spirit. He was wanting fellowship, but he was wanting fellowship around God's word.
Amen.
He was wanting fellowship around God's provided way. He was wanting fellowship in God's... what God was doing. Not fellowship outside of that. Fellowship in what God was doing in that day. And God was restoring.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But he looked at Nehemiah. He's okay, but he don't want to fellowship with anybody. He just keeps himself to himself. No, he had a mind for God. Had a heart for God. And if you've got a mind for God and a heart for God, sometimes people will say that about you.
That's right.
They'll think the same thing. But you see, the thing of it is, in Nehemiah's heart, he was just following the leadership of God. He looked like he was in the message, but the message wasn't in him. You get it?
Amen.
Looked like, oh, he's in the message, but you know what? He keeps himself to himself. He hadn't had a revelation of it. But the message was in him. Because he was seeking to fulfill what God said.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So, but it goes on to say in verse 5. One thing about the enemy, when he doesn't stop, he's persistent. You know, you have to give him credit for that. He just keeps on going and going and going against the people of God. That's why today the people are just wearing the people down. Just wearing the people down. So he comes back, and in verse 5 it tells us. Then Sanballat, when he realized that didn't work, then Sanballat, his servant, sent him to me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Notice, wherein was written, "It is reported among the heathen, and Gashan saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel." So now he's accused of being a rebel.
Yes.
Now he's accused of being a troublemaker. Now he's accused of being just somebody that's just difficult to get along with. "You want to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words." So now Nehemiah is accused of being a rebel. Not only that, he's accused of trying to set himself up to be a somebody. Whenever somebody does something for God, that's one of the accusations that's going to come against them. You're trying to set yourself up. You're trying to create a following. You're trying to be this. You're trying to be that. But that's judgment without discernment. If they had that discernment, they would have seen Nehemiah was fulfilling the word of God for the day he was living in. So, but now he's accused of setting himself up to be a king. But did you notice the scriptures are being fulfilled here? Remember, there'd been a prophet by the name of Daniel. And that was a prophet. You read the book of Daniel. He had tremendous supernatural experiences with God. An angel came to him. He had visions. He had great supernatural things with God. And then we know the story in Daniel 9, I believe it is, where it says how that God said the wall's going to be rebuilt. It speaks about the times for the people of Daniel and so forth. It goes right down to the end time. But it speaks about the wall being rebuilt. It speaks about the Messiah coming and the prince being cut off and things like that. But you know what it said in the scriptures there? It said, "The wall shall be built in troublous times." Now, I like that. It didn't say the wall might be built. You know, the angel didn't come and say, "Well, you know what? If the conditions are okay, Daniel, you know, it's possible the wall could be built. And I'm hoping the wall's going to be built." But God said the wall is going to be built.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When God ever says anything, it's coming to pass. But he said, "I want you to know it's going to be built or rebuilt in troublous times." So what they were seeing here, if they could have gone back to the word, they could have rejoiced. Because it's the scriptures being fulfilled. It would have been, you know, there would have been a problem if everything was fine and dandy. Because that's not what God said in his word. It would have been a bit of an issue if everything was going well and the people were coming and saying, "Well, help you, we'll support the word." That should have caused them to question things. Because they didn't, God's word didn't say that. God said in his word, it's going to be rebuilt, but it's going to be rebuilt in troublous times. So they could have rejoiced in the Lord and said, "Well, praise the Lord, he said it would be here." But he also said it's going to be rebuilt. So no matter how bad the troubles get, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how many Gashmus there are, Sanballats there are, Tobiah the Ammonites there are, God said that wall's going to be built.
Amen.
I don't care what they're saying or what they're shouting off. That wall's going to be built. And I tell you today, there might be a lot of agnostics, there might be a lot of atheists, there might be a lot of liberal Christianity today, but God said there's going to be a church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And there's going to be one. Praise the Lord. And so he gets accused of doing that, saying that he's setting himself as trying to be a somebody, when in fact, all Nehemiah is trying to do is fulfill the word spoken through that prophet Daniel, all those years before. Because God spoke through Daniel the prophet. Now, Nehemiah never had any supernatural experiences like that. Remember when that work of restoration began? It began by a desire. No great supernatural events. Just a desire. Daniel was the one with all those experiences now. Now, praise God for those things. I would look, you know. But when that work's about to be fulfilled, there ain't no angel. There ain't no vision. There's just a desire and God touching the spirits of the people. Has God touched your spirit today, my brother, my sister? God touching your spirit. That's just as precious as the angel coming to Daniel. That's just as precious as the visions Daniel saw. Why? Because it's the word of God being fulfilled. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can miss it because we're looking for something great and we miss the simplicity of God. We say, "Oh, there's nothing happening." We miss it. Sure, there's something happening. God promised in his word he's going to restore.
That's right.
Don't tell me nothing's happening.
Amen.
But it began with a desire. It began with a little desire in the heart of the people. God touching their spirits. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord's name. And so he's got this desire. Now he might never have mentioned Daniel. But he was fulfilling Daniel's message. he was seeking to fulfill Daniel's message. He might not have mentioned Daniel all the time, but Daniel's message was in him. Why? Because he's seeking to do what the Spirit of God spoke through Daniel. Restore, rebuild. And he could have gone back to the Word to prove that. And I believe any message God speaks, any message God says, you can always go back to the Word.
Amen.
It's never outside the Word. It's not a private interpretation, a private mystery. Jesus warned us against that. He said there'll come a time when people will say he's here, he's there. Don't you believe it? Hallelujah. Oh, the Word of God's precious.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He said, don't believe it. But we're living in that day. This person's got a revelation. This person's had a mystery. This person's got a secret. Stay away from all of that.
Amen.
The Spirit of God will always bring you back to the Word of God.
Amen.
Never get away from that. It'll always go back. If the Scripture says you must be born again, it means what it says. If the Scripture says, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, means what it says. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Means what it says.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is more than a match for any devil in this day. Blessed be the Lord's name. Praise the Lord. Oh, they might have said Nehemiah, he don't believe that message. But that message was in him. His actions proved it. His actions proved it.
Amen.
What he know what he was saying, what he was doing. Praise the Lord. Blessed be. Oh, let me quickly get through it now. Third attack come. Now remember, there's a message and there's a message. Just like there's a Christian and there's a Christian. But if it's a message from God, it's always in the Word of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If he's a true child of God, he's identified with the Word of God. Never get outside of that. Praise the Lord. But the last attack comes now. And what's that attack? It's now this fine, this has failed. They finally don't want to have, he's just staying with the Word. We can't sidetrack him with all these get-togethers and so forth and whatever we're doing now. So he just wants to stay with the Word. And did you notice there it says, you've appointed prophets. Watch. You've appointed prophets to say there's a king in Jerusalem. But I want you to notice, Nehemiah never appointed no prophets.
Amen.
The prophets of fear were self-appointed. In fact, they were hired. One thing about a prophet of fear, he's for hire. He's for hire. But a true prophet of God, you can't hire him. Nehemiah never appointed those prophets. They were sent by God. And any servant, any prophet, any servant of God, he's not appointed by a man. He's not appointed by a group. He's sent by God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's sent by God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's sent by, and God's word's in him. God's message is in him. God's burden's in him.
Amen.
And he can't be bought. He can't be hired. He's not going to sell out. He's not going to turn around and compromise on it and say, well, let's smooth it down and make it a little bit more easy. He'll stay with what God said to
him.
He'll preach what God said preach.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, a prophet of freedom will use the same message, but to get a different result. But a prophet of God, a true self-appointed prophet of God, will stay with the Word of God and encourage, exhort the people.
Amen.
To rebuild. To get back to the original. To go back to the original. You know, it's been so long now. There's been so many imitations. But hallelujah, I'm so glad there's an original.
Amen.
You know, when they got back to Jerusalem there, they were in the right place. Now, there was a lot of rubbish there, that's the truth. But you know what? Beneath all that rubbish, there's a foundation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, there's a foundation. And no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which the Apostle Paul tells us, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other. Now, there's been all kinds of things built on that foundation. Paul warned about that. He said, some will come along, they'll put gold and silver, that's okay, precious stones. See, deity, redemption, the precious stones of the message of redemption, the word of God. But he said, they'll also come and build wood, hay, and stubble. Foundations are same, but what are you putting on the foundation? And remember, wood, hay, and stubble, they burn pretty quick. But that gold, that silver, those precious stones, you can't burn them. You just polish them up with a fire. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But if he could get back there, there's a foundation there. If he could get rid of... Now, you can't build on rubbish. That's the truth. You cannot build on rubbish. You've got to get rid of the rubbish. You've got to... Don't get taken up with it. Just get it out of the way. That's the problem. We get taken up with the rubbish. Get it out of the way and start to build on that foundation. Because the one thing the devil couldn't pull down was a foundation. And Satan's come against the church always up. But one thing he can't touch is that foundation. Because that foundation is Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell won't prevail against that. Praise the Lord. So the last attack they come against is an attack on Nehemiah's character. When they said, come into the temple, flee into the temple, lock the doors, save yourself. So they could turn around and just point to him and say, Nehemiah's just looking after his own skin. Nehemiah's just in it for himself. Nehemiah's just taking care of himself. He wasn't. He was there for God's work, for God's purpose. And the Bible says, I perceived that God had not sent him. Those prophets of fear that were coming there, he perceived, he had that discernment, he had that righteous judgment. Praise the Lord. He recognized that's not God. But he knew that he had that quickening, that unction from God to go back. He had the word of God. He could go back to the scriptures and see God speaking through Daniel to come back. He knew he was in the plan and the purpose of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, friends. Shall we bow our heads? I'm sorry. Precious Father, I just want to commit these things which have been spoken to you this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I said anything to hurt feelings, Lord, or offend anyone, I wouldn't mean to do that. I just pray that, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, you could take it and quicken it to the hearts of your people, Lord, to see, Lord, that we're in the days in which we're living, Father. Lord, you are wanting your church, Lord. Lord, to rise up and to start to rebuild. Lord, those walls have been torn down, Lord. Lord, your temple's been defiled, Father. But oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. I believe you touched the hearts of people today. I believe you touched the hearts of a remnant today. God, stir us. Lord, if that's not the case with all in here, I pray that this morning it would be. That you touch hearts this morning. Maybe some people have not understood what has been said. And I pray that God, but one thing they may understand, that you love them, Lord. You died for them. You gave yourself for them. You shed your precious blood, Father. And Lord, it's not about understanding everything. It's just about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that that relationship would be the portion of everyone in this place this morning, Father. That, Lord, they will know you, Lord Jesus. They'll know that touch of God in their lives. That that presence would just draw close to them right now. And just, Lord, just give them that quickening, that assurance, Lord. That touch in their hearts and their lives. I pray that their hearts are open to you, Lord. I pray that their minds are open to you this morning, Father. Lord, that God, you just send your blessings upon us this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. And as we wait before you now, touch our hearts, we pray. Lord, meet every need of the sick here this morning. Lord, as we wait upon you, Lord, heal the sick. Let us hear there that are seeking, Lord, for a fresh touch from you this morning, Lord. I ask, Lord, that God, they would receive that touch, Father. If there's some here, Lord, that, Lord, whatever that need is, Father, I know nothing of anyone, Lord Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit knows those things. But I just pray that God, you just come. That your Spirit would just hover and brood upon us right now. Minister to every heart, Lord. Touch everyone in your presence, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just want to commit these things to you now. In your precious name. Amen. How many knows that little chorus?
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
worship him now. Feel my just be an attitude of worship. Be an attitude of prayer.
Ask God to meet you right where you're at.
This thirsting of my soul.
Probably talked about him, but if in your heart you don't really know him this morning, I want you to be honest enough just to lift your hand and say, Lord, won't you just save me, have mercy upon me. If there's anyone here this morning in that condition, just be honest enough with God and say, Lord, I want to know you. Will you do that?
God, and make me amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Looks like everyone's a Christian.
Feel my God.
Sit this morning. Why don't you raise your hand and say, Lord, I want you to touch me right now.
Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Hand to God, say, Lord, I want you to touch me right now. Lord, I want you to touch me right now. Praise the Lord. Lord, in your presence, I want you to touch me right now. Lord, I want you to touch me right now. Father, just touch everyone in your presence, Lord. Touch that brother, touch that sister. Meet that need, oh God. Let your Holy Spirit just be upon them right now. Lord, from the crown of their head to the soul of their people, in the name of Jesus. Christ, Lord, I pray. Lord Jesus, amen.
Get up and make me whole. I lift it up, Lord.
Oh, come.